Hi, we are Tim and Carolina, and we're a couple of friends, colleagues, and former coworkers.
And we love our industry, our clients, our community, and that inspired us to share our experience and guest experience to broaden perspectives in the industry and maybe think a little differently. Please leave a review on iTunes or whatever platform you use for podcasts and let us know how we can serve you better and share with anyone who you think might have interest in the working in our industry. This is all made possible through support from Nichiha Architectural Wall Panels and Venvio Smarter Building Materials Marketing Podcast. Information
and motivation to attract future talent to the building industry. You can leave questions you'd like us to discuss or request to be a guest or recommend a guest at buildperspectives.com. So in this episode, I am so excited to visit with Brittany Turner, who I met a few years ago at a really cool event in Colorado Springs, along with her husband. And today we're going to talk to her about her career and the future of design and construction. Welcome, Brittany.
Oh, I'm so happy to be joining with you guys today. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, likewise. We get to put a face with the podcast. I don't know if there's a better way to put that, but it's really cool to be
Brittany's the hostess. Well, I'll let you tell us about your awesome podcast. So tell us what you do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do a couple of things, and I'll start with a podcast because I think it only makes sense. I am the host of the Constructor Podcast. We talk about the future of the built environment. We talk about how to make the process more efficient, help to build relationships within the industry in order to respect people and use technology that's smart in order to improve that process itself and build those relationships. So yeah, that's what the podcast is all about. I have over 110 episodes now. Woot, woot.
Yeah.
No kidding. That's a big milestone. 100 episodes.
Yeah. You know, it's been a little bit slow as of late, and I have a really good excuse. I just changed my daytime role. I was previously working as a project management consultant or program manager as well. And now I am at American Family Insurance. I am the Workplace Innovation and Construction Manager, leading a team of construction project managers to deliver internal construction projects within the real estate portfolio there at AmFam. So yeah, that's the new gig. And I just started my fourth month. I've been pretty busy just getting acclimated, and it's been pretty fun.
No kidding. Is that agent offices, workplace design, or is it all corporate?
All corporate. I don't touch agent offices at all, actually. They're independently owned.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Exciting. You've done some episodes on workplace design. Did that lead to this, or?
You know, majority of my work at my previous company, that's what I was working on, workplace. So workplace has really been my jam, if you will, for the past 6 years. And that's why I'm calling myself, you know, workplace innovation and construction manager. It only makes sense. That's what I've been delivering and all the nuances associated with it, whether it's focus on lead, focus on sustainability, well, really just trying to densify and open up the way of working to more open floor plan, allow different types of spaces to support, whether it be focus rooms, whether it be different size conference rooms or video conferencing. Now Zoom is a big thing. It's how to make sure to supply the many different types of spaces that support different types of work to enable people to be their best at work and be fulfilled at work. Because at the end of the day, businesses want to support their employees in order to get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and we spend most of our lives at work. So why not make it the best possible environment for sure? Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you used a percentage in a couple of your episodes about the time we spend in the built environment is like 90% of our time in the built environment. Some of that's at work, some of that's at home, some of that's at the pub or whatever. But
especially if you live in the cold. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Right. Yes. Exactly. Which you're going from cold to maybe slightly colder? I don't know.
It is slightly colder. It's about between 5 to 10 degrees colder, yeah.
So maybe 91% in the built environment.
Maybe it'll shift a little bit.
So we love origin stories. And I think a lot of industries publish a lot on origin stories. For you, how did you get started in the building materials industry? Were you 7 or 8 and be like, I am going to work on workplace innovation in the corporate environment when I am older? It's going to be my dream.
That's exactly what I said.
I thought so.
Perfectly, yeah.
Were you there, Tim? What?
How did you know?
I was not paying attention to anything when I was 7 or 8. I was playing in the woods with rubber band guns.
I did some of that with my brother too, the rubber band guns. I don't know if they were as sophisticated. It sounds like you had some more sophistication with your guns, but we definitely...
I think they're illegal now. You have to wear a helmet.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. So I was about 7 or 8 when I started my path of wanting to be in the built industry. Apparently, my mom found a deal on a faucet at Home Depot or whatever the hardware store was. And it was underneath the sink. And I kept bugging her like, Mom, why is this here? Why don't you change it? It looks a lot nicer than the one that we have in the sink right now. And she told me, she's like, I got it because it looks nice. And eventually, you know, when you clog this one up, because I would always put my hair and random toys down the sink drain, we'll change it out. And I said, oh, okay. So I don't know what got into me. I think I must have been 7 or 8. And this was before my mom came home from work. My grandmother was there with us, but she didn't always monitor us maybe as closely as she should have been. She made sure we were fed. She made sure that we were safe. But this particular day, I started taking apart the piping underneath the sink. And I found the tools and I replaced the faucet. And my brother called my mom freaking out because he was like, she's going to flood the house. She's going to flood the house. And she's like, okay, do you know where the water main is? Figure that out, turn it off, and we won't flood the house. Don't worry about it. His name, we called him Michael A back then. Michael A will be okay. So I changed the entire faucet and my dad came home from work. My mom came home from work. She was like, okay, it looks fine, but like, it's probably not. So let's not turn on the water yet. She asked my dad to check it when he finally came home. And he was like, oh, just need some putty here. And actually it looks great. She did perfectly fine.
Nice.
Oh, I feel like I need to clap for that. That's awesome.
So that was really the start of my journey in the built environment. And, you know, it cascaded into me wanting my own tools because my dad didn't clean up his tools well. And I wanted my own, you know. So yeah. I asked for those for Christmas and they gave me this little set, ratchet.
A wrench.
Yeah, ratchet wrench.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a little hammer. I mean, they were all real tools. They weren't pink or anything. They were real. And I was very, very, very happy. So that's
no kidding.
That's fantastic that they encouraged that and that they were proud of you. And that's really cool. Yeah. So it's in you. It's in your DNA. So can you now, let's shift gears a little bit. Can you talk about, did you go to college to study something related to the built environment?
I did. I studied architectural engineering. I did that in my undergrad. And to be honest, before I went in, I really didn't know the full sense of what that really meant. I thought it was just, you know, making buildings look pretty to some degree. Like I thought it was pretty much just architecture. But I still had no idea what architecture was at all. I was like, I just want to do something in buildings and help create them, help design them. And as I went through my calculus courses and my physics courses, I guess it was my first year in there, it started coming together for me. And I really like that particular major and how it's made up because it's very different than most other engineering or architecture courses, particularly because it gets into the details of every single building system. So we got to learn how to design lighting. We got to learn how to design HVAC, plumbing, and all separate classes, electrical, building envelope. You know, I thought it was really cool to dig in to a variable degree about each one of those systems because we got to learn about all the science of how to design it and deliver it so that it works. Structural as well, concrete as well. I didn't do as well as in those classes, but
But you find your niche. You find that it exposes you to everything and then you get to choose what you want to specialize in. Yeah, that's great.
Exactly. So when I was getting ready to graduate, it was during the economic downturn. And I did not find a job, a permanent job. I kept finding internships, which was great. But I didn't find a job. And I said, you know what, let me go back to school. I was considering going to do my master's in architectural engineering. But after speaking with one of my professors, he said, hey, why don't you check out construction management? And I read all the course description and I said, you know what, this actually sounds really good because I am interested in the process from A to Z. And I think that I would have a really fun time supporting that. So that's what I ended up studying after
my master's degree. Yeah. And so it was a direct connection because not everyone does. They go to school for something else and then they might end up in construction, or maybe they bypass, like I did, the whole college experience until I was older.
Well, so, she was changing faucets at age 8.
That's so right. Exactly.
She knew it. She knew she was going to do it. Did you go to UIC? Is that?
No, right? No, I did not go to UIC. UIC is a good school. I thought they have a really good program there, but no, I went to IIT. I went to Illinois Institute of Technology. Okay. Yeah. That's where I got the scholarship. So that's where I went.
Don't blame you for that. Yeah. That's the smart thing to do.
Your career has had probably with 100 episodes in podcasting and all the events you go to and your actual day job of designing workplace and implementing innovations to help people enjoy their jobs and so forth. What's your most memorable moment in your career from when you officially started in the AECOM world?
You know, I think we particularly remember the highs and lows, the sort of triggers, the tipping points, if you will. And I think this is the reason why they're most memorable to me. I kind of have two. One in particular was a really challenging moment. And I had been working in it was a schedule management role. This particular moment was a point in time where I was not heard. I was really stifled in my voice. And it was a particular situation while I was working as a schedule manager. There was a very, very process-oriented approach that I took to reviewing schedules from every single contractor that submitted schedules for review for this particular program. And I wanted to simplify the process for them because it was a big hurdle. A lot of the contractors that were supporting this program, they're minority and women-owned businesses, and they were not very skilled in developing and creating schedules in the format that we were asking for. And delivering at the really nth degree that we were asking for them to deliver. So I wanted to simplify the process. I wanted to build a training. I wanted to create something that was really easy for them to follow, but also meet all of the requirements. I wanted to sort of bridge that gap.
So
I proposed
great.
That. Yeah, it sounded great to me too. And I expressed that to my manager. And she was actually an interim manager at the time. And she was like, that sounds like a great idea. Let's go ahead and propose it to the client. And I'll set that meeting up and I'll let you present. And so I presented it and it was completely shut down.
Oh,
it was very interesting.
I can see the disappointment in your face. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a good tipping point for me because I was like, well, what am I doing this?
Did they give you an explanation?
The main thing that was said, well, think about those who might come after you because we're consultants. And if it was a consultant coming in, if say our contract ended and they didn't know how to do the training or they didn't know how to do my approach, quote unquote,
right,
then it would be difficult for that person to transition into my role. That was described to me, which also was not exactly like warm and fuzzy because that also said my contract was ending. So I was like, okay, that's great. I ended up crying afterwards. I didn't let them see, but my manager, she was great. She was like, don't let them tell you what you can and cannot do. She was like, they're terrible for doing that. I mean, she told me, she did this in private, but she was like, I don't understand why they didn't listen to what you had to present. Da, 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 da. Like they cut me off way in the beginning of our presentation as well. So I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, why would they even be like that? I mean, this is a good idea. Like they couldn't even hear me out. But she yelled at them and then she encouraged me right afterwards, which was awesome. So that was interesting to me because I am an introvert. I am an engineer at heart. And, you know, we don't do a whole ton of small talk. We're not the most sociable people in the room. We're not the life of the party, right? Mm-hmm. And I identified with that. I was like, okay, well, I had a good idea. I don't say a ton. And you're not even going to listen to the small amount of things that I'm presenting. So that, I think, shifted a lot for me. I said, you know what? I have good ideas. People need to hear them. You know, there's better ways of doing things. Somebody must be doing something better. Who is this? You know, I got to go to some events. There's some events. I went to IIT. IIT talked about amazing companies that were doing amazing things. Let me talk with them. Let me find out more about where they're doing. So that started my path of like wanting to just go to events and learn about different companies and learn even a little bit more about the company that I was working for. Because as a consultant, you kind of sit in the client's office and you don't know a ton about your own company. Mm. You know more about that client than you do your own company. So I said, let me see what the other opportunities are. So that, I would say, is that starting trigger point that kind of shifted everything for me.
Wow.
That is a memorable moment.
And you didn't let that disappointment and that, yeah, I guess it's a huge disappointment. You didn't let that deter you from your career, because just one bad apple isn't going to ruin it. But yeah, so, and I've talked to so many people, and women in particular, where this has happened to, and myself included. I met someone 2 weeks ago, actually, who just went through something similar. And, you know, one thing I told her is, this is just one experience. Don't let this destroy your career, because she's pretty young. She's just out of grad school. So yeah, is there something you would say to someone young who just went through something horrible like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's so much opportunity. That is what I would say to them. There is so much opportunity in this industry to be relevant, to make
and heard.
Impact, to be heard, and to make lasting impact.
Yes.
And this is just one scenario. This is just one person. This is just one company. Look at the world. You can go to any country, you can go to another side of the city, you can go across this country. There's so much opportunity, and it's a mindset of a company that shifts everything. Mm. And I say company, but it really comes down to people. It's a mindset about respecting each other. And that's why the podcast is about building relationships and having respect for people and process improvement. It is really introducing how you respect, you can improve processes. How when you build relationships, you can improve processes. You can value stream. You can really lean things out because you listen to people who are actually doing the work. So that's what I would encourage someone who's been through a scenario.
Yes, and I think that would go for anybody in the industry, you know, because there's always a client or a something initiative in the company that you know would be awesome, and you have to sell it, and it doesn't get adopted. And so you have to, you know, pick your battles, and maybe the battles on that field aren't worth fighting, so you go fight them on another field. There is so much opportunity, especially with all the fragmentation in our industry.
Yeah, so, the point is to just not let one horrible experience deter you from your life's purpose and your goal and the things you really want to do and are meant to do, which sounds like it's made your life better for sure.
Oh, yeah.
The people listening to your podcast, and hopefully this one too, are the type of folks that want to do something, that want to grow, want to change the industry, small or large ways. So that's really good advice for resiliency. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about resiliency in buildings, and that's a good one about resiliency in our careers. And
yeah, that's a Tim tweet, if I've ever heard one.
I like it. I'd retweet it.
Yes, all right.
Maybe we can put the next three questions together.
Yes. So we're kind of running out of time, but we need to have you on again, because you just have so many different areas of expertise.
That's fine.
So it sounds like this manager of yours was super supportive, and you know, had she not been there, maybe things would have turned out a little differently for you. So we always love to ask about mentors, because mentoring is important to both Tim and I. Did you have a mentor in your career that kind of has guided you, or more than one? And how did you meet, and how has that relationship evolved?
Yeah, I've actually had a number of mentors, thankfully. I had one in particular, when I was in high school, and he was an electrical engineer. He actually worked with my mom, and he, you know, they were good family friends. He and his wife were good family friends of our family. And he actually started coming to some of my basketball games. You know, my mom had the time, and she was coming to them, and he was like, yeah, let me come and see Brittany play basketball. So he came out, and it just so happened that my coach at the time was leaving, and this particular gentleman, he used to play professional basketball overseas. So someone got caught wind of it and said, you know what, hey, would you like to be the basketball coach? And he was like, let me think about it. But he ended up being the basketball coach. And because of that, we spent a lot of time together, ended up going out after games for a lot of meals. And he got the bug in my ear about engineering. And he actually made it quite well in the electrical distribution here, distribution company here in Chicago, and moved his way up the ladder in the corporate realm. And he was a mentor for me really all throughout high school as I was deciding what I was going to study, as well as when I got into college, about how to navigate through, I don't know, some of the more diplomatic scenarios that I would not have foreseen before. He helped me get internships. I actually had internships 3 summers in a row with that same company. And yeah, he opened a lot of doors for me because I had those internships. I worked 1 summer in his old department, substation engineering, which is not at all close to buildings, but it gave me enough exposure to industry and design that I could put it on my resume and then get my next internship. So he was my first mentor. And, you know, he's passed on now, which, you know, is unfortunate, but he invested so much into my life in so many different ways. So he was my first one. And I'll tell you that because I've had such a good mentor, I've always kept my eyes open for different people to support sort of the next step. And I have a ton of mentors now. I would say some mentionable ones are a couple people that have been on the podcast. Rex Miller, he has written a number of books, including The Healthy Workplace Nudge. Was it Change Your Space, Change Your Culture? The Corporate Real Estate Revolution. And he just came out with another book, and he like turns around a book every year. But he's certainly a mentor of mine. And then Paul Doherty, he's a mentor of mine. He is an architect by trade, and he has helped to develop a number of different softwares that have now been acquired by Autodesk and others. And he is now a developer himself because he wants to shift the way the industry is going, shift cities and how they think about makeup of cities. And I think because these two gentlemen are big thinkers in the way the industry is moving, they're great supporters of my path.
Cool. That's fantastic.
I've heard both those episodes. Actually, I think you had Paul on maybe a couple times. I don't know, but yeah. It was really great to make that connection with him at the Katerra takeoff event last year. And our connection was you. So thank you for that. And so we all need those mentors and to look for opportunities to be mentors to others. I think that's hopefully what Carolina and I can do, as well as have better relationships with the folks that we have. So that's a good reminder for us. Thank you. So what would you say to someone in another industry or this industry that loves construction or design, wants to expand into it or expand their career, or maybe even someone new? What would you say to them to encourage them in their growth? Because we need more. We need more folks in this industry. Obviously, it's not just a labor shortage on the job site. It's a shortage everywhere, from building departments to city planners and engineers.
Yeah, well, there are a couple things. First thing is pair up what you also like sort of outside of design and construction with design and construction. If you're interested in tech, if you're interested in health, if you're interested in, I don't know, cooking, like pair that up with what you like about design and construction, right? Like figure out the synergies so that you can create the types of spaces to support these incredible things. I'm passionate about health. That's another reason why I like corporate real estate. interior spaces where people are working because I want people to perform their best. And yeah, I think that that kind of small pairing there is huge. But from a tech perspective, you know, there's so much SaaS opportunity here because the industry is a bit disjointed. There's lots of room for process improvement. I mean, BIM is one area that we think we've adopted, but we're still very much struggling with. Yeah. You know, that's an area that can totally be supported, but we have
BIM can solve a lot of problems if we use it properly.
If we use it properly, but I'm not just talking about 3D modeling. I'm talking about the schedule component, the cost component. You know, every piece of data about the building. You know, many years ago now, it seems, we were talking about big data, but we really need to analyze the data that we produce from our buildings and maximize the value in that from a city perspective. There's so much there. So, I mean, and there's prefab, there's, you know, artificial intelligence, there's virtual reality, like tech is so huge for this industry right now. But yeah, that's what I would suggest, especially if you're a veteran, you know, you already have been in another industry. So there's some tie. And then a new person, I would say, you know, if they're thinking about what to study, somebody who's coming out of school, try to find the most collaborative approach in a curriculum to learn how to design and construct. Because the moment design and construction trade partners start talking earlier, the more successful they will be, the less amount of change orders, the less amount of ad hoc costs at the end will take place.
So, oh my gosh, so true.
That's really good
so
advice.
So true.
I think that goes along with kind of the bridge question that I emailed earlier, that the future of the built environment still will take people. Tech is a bridge. Contact Crew talks about on their podcast too, that tech is a bridge to get people in the industry. But what can we do better? And that's good advice for people that are thinking about it or maybe haven't thought about it before. But what can we do better to attract more folks to the industry or advance their career, change, you know, take on new skills?
Expose them to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, as I mentioned before, I didn't really know what I was getting into when I was getting ready to study architecture. I knew it had something to do with buildings. What skill sets do you actually need? It's varied. You can come into this industry with such varied experience. And a lot of people will say, well, if you're going to design, you need to know your math and sciences really well. But there, I mean, you don't have to. You can come in and do many different, you could do project management, right? Like you could do carpentry. You can come in and do so many different things. You could design materiality. You could pick carpet as your thing, right? Like your jam, and be an expert in carpet. And you can enter the industry with that. You could pick furniture. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different avenues to enter into this industry, which is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about it. Yeah, just pick what you like. You know, sports arenas, like, you know, no, they're not a ton, but like if you love playing basketball or, you know, football or whatever, like try to inch your way into that industry. There's always an opportunity.
Back to that connection you were talking about. It's sort of like the Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation thing, you know, like how is what I'm excited about connected?
Yeah. Or connect. It's using your passions, your skills, and what you're curious about. Mm-hmm. There's a spot for you in the building industry, no matter what you're into. That's what you're
all saying. 30 and a half people that are listening to this.
Yeah.
Take that advice.
That's cool. Right.
So one of our last questions, you talk to a lot of people in this industry. You're in the industry. You've been in consulting. So you've just met so many people. What's an important topic in construction, built environment, AEC, that you feel no one's talking about, but we need to bring up? So we've interviewed people and some people say, no, we're already talking. We just need to talk to each other, which is what you already said as well for new people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I mentioned a little bit about my voice earlier and you kind of piggybacked on it, Carolina. Like it could be due to, and I don't know this, but, and my experience doesn't exactly say this, but it could be due to that we might just be used to the way that we're doing things. And there's a conversation about unconscious bias that's taking place, and it has started, and I think it's taking place, but I don't think it's happening enough. In regards to women, in regards to minorities, I think it's exposing individuals to the fact that there aren't enough people in the industry, to mm-hmm. your last point.
Yeah.
How do we get more interest? And let's talk about the lack of diversity. I think that there are many companies that I'm working for now, or when I was a consultant I was working for, that had a focus on inclusive excellence, a focus on diversity and inclusion. And American Family is doing a great job of this. But they want to see companies work for them that reflect what they look like. And I think that's going to be more and more what people want to see. I think we could talk about it more, and I think we could build awareness around this subject a bit more.
Exactly. Inclusivity and just making it more welcome to those groups that are not necessarily represented, but need to be. And that's a big part of why we're doing this podcast. And that's super important to me as well. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
And showing folks that they can be heard and make a difference and drive by a project that they had a part in and share that experience with other people. And that it's a positive experience and it can be regardless of who you are. I think super, super important. You publish podcasts and articles about smart contracts, blockchain. You talk about women in construction and diversity and that unconscious bias you mentioned. You talk with Paul Doherty about smart cities and smart buildings. And you speak with folks about BIM modeling, sustainability, workspace, real estate development, construction, all that fun, like a crescendo of all this great content. What are you out of all that most excited about right now?
There's probably two things. I would say that I think blockchain is inevitable for most industries. And I want to see that realized. I want to see it actually implemented. So I'm excited to see that happen. And I think the reason why I am is because it supports the accountability question of, are you delivering what you say? You said you were going to deliver mm-hmm. on time and on budget, no matter who you are. And it kind of takes that picture of, again, inclusivity. Are you delivering, right? So that piece, I think, will help to level some playing fields. So I'm excited about that. And then the other thing I'm excited about is actually something Rex is working on right now. And I don't know exactly how I'm going to incorporate this quite yet, whether it be into the podcast or what I'm doing here now in my new role. But it's around personal performance and how you show up at work and how that ties into your built space. I have just recently gotten a Whoop strap. And what it does is it measures your heart rate variability. It measures your resting heart rate. It measures how well you sleep, how much REM sleep, how much deep sleep you get, a number of things. And my curiosity is, how do we tie this into the built environment? How to help buildings be smarter to support people to perform the best they possibly can and be happier and be healthier.
And be happier. Yep.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true, well-rounded engineer. I love it. I love that. Using the smartness for improving people's lives.
That's right.
Yeah, I love it. It's perfect.
Just put smart at the beginning of any product in our space, and we need more of it. That's it, period.
Integratable. That's right.
Integratable.
Yep. Yep.
I'm going to look that up. Whoop strap. Never heard of those. Yeah. I wanted an Apple Watch, but hey, this sounds even better.
All that does is count steps. I mean, it does a couple things more, but like, I don't ever have to take this off. It's 24/7. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. I mean, I've only had it for a week, but I'm still pretty excited about it.
My son says with the Apple Watch, my son says, you should have the ability to text someone that's annoying you and give them just a little shock.
Yeah, that's why I resisted getting an Apple Watch, because I did not want to have text messages in my arm. But this is going on my Christmas list, my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Brittany. Thank you so much.
So, Brittany, can you recommend an episode? What I would recommend to listeners is go just Google constructor, C-O-N-S-T-R, UCTRR, constructor, two R's at the end, with blockchain after it. And there are several episodes you can listen to really get caught up on that topic, because not only is it not going away, it needs a bigger voice itself.
It needs to be implemented a little bit better. I've worked on a few projects where we've all kind of used it, and you know, the permissions thing, it's still a bit wonky, but for sure that's the direction we need to go. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Blockchain is one piece. And I would say, if, you know, to my other point, search constructor and wellness.
Constructor.
And well-being. Yeah. And well-being. I think
love it.
Good.
Love
good
it. Because yeah, those have been traditionally oxymorons, you know, like construction and wellness in the same
true
sentence.
That's a good point.
So I love that you're doing
the
that.
The perception. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how can folks find you besides Constructor Podcasts? How can folks get in touch with you, Brittany?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best way. Monitor my LinkedIn messages probably more than I do my email. But you can reach me at either. Yeah. Okay. LinkedIn, Brittany Campbell Turner, Brittany Campbell - Turner. And then my email is brittany@constructor.com.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Best so glad you were able to
move.
Be on.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the move as well. And lots of things changing, lots of different content I'm planning for the Constructor Podcast as well. So
yeah, I would love to have you back on when we do a wellness series, or when we do a serious discussion about unconscious bias and inclusion, for sure.
We can do a LinkedIn Live.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That would be fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
This is Tim and Carolina, and this podcast is made available free to you, our loyal listener, thanks to Nichiha.com and Venvio Smarter Building Materials Marketing. Please subscribe and rate us on your podcast player. Also, podcasts are still very new to a lot of folks, so help them download it.
And if you find Build Perspectives helpful and motivating, please share a link to the show and let people know how to subscribe and how to find us so they can be notified when we drop new episodes to you.
Entertaining architecture and construction talk and fresh perspectives, something my dad says you can never have too much of. Bye, everybody.
Bye.